I seek refuge from Satan. In the name of God, the Merciful. Praise be to God, Lord of the worlds, and may peace be upon our Prophet, the last of the prophets, Abul Qasim Muhammad, son of Abdullah, and may peace be upon all of his family and his companions, and may peace be upon all of the prophets and the messengers. Clerics, brothers and sisters, honorable gathering, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, may peace be upon you. At the beginning, I would like to address you and specifically the family of the martyr commander Abu Muhammad. First of all, I would like to congratulate you on this very important reward and achievement made by the martyr, and I would also like to extend my condolences over the loss of this beloved honorable person who left us to the world of immortality. To his honorable family, to his brothers, the Mujahideen in the resistance, to the supporters of the resistance, to all those who are loyal and the beloved, we all share these feelings and we all share this stance. Hajj Abu Muhammad was a commander, one of the commanders of the resistance, and he is one of its pillars, one of the heroic mujahideen of the resistance. Hajj Abu Muhammad is one or was one of those brothers who participated in the launching of this resistance ever since it came to being, since it began in confronting the Israeli occupation of Lebanon in 1982. His choice was clear from the beginning, and his decision was also clear from the beginning. And he participated on all fields, and he loved martyrdom, and he anticipated, expected martyrdom on all occasions. However, God decided that he give Abu Muhammad these decades, these tens of years, these years which he spent as a fighter, as a mujahid, and as an official, as a commander, and as someone who was always present on the battlefield. His youth, the very years of his youth, he spent these years in the resistance. Since 1982, there was no life for Abu Muhammad outside the resistance. It's like when we talk about fish and water. Fish don't live outside water. Abu Muhammad also could not breathe any air, could not have any ideology outside the framework of resistance. So hence, from the beginning, he used to live in the hills and the valleys and the front lines of the resistance, and in the end, he was a martyr, one of the commanders who were martyred. What really distinguishes this martyr are his personal traits. I believe one of the most important points regarding the personality of Hajj Abu Muhammad is this mosque. In the end, a military commander has military qualifications, military expertise, military experience, and this is something which anyone can gain in any military institution, in any military framework. However, what mostly distinguishes the primary factor is his personality, his religious devotion, his commitment to Sharia, religious jurisprudence, his intent on always abstaining, not angering God in his own personality, in being someone who always had good manners. This is not my own testimony, not the testimony of two people. Everyone who knows Abu Muhammad, the martyr, would also agree with what I'm saying now. He's also being someone who has humility, a humble person, always smiling, even in difficulties, love. This commander, of course, was martyred in Syria recently. Highly appreciating his parents and his family, calmness, patience. Also being able to put up with hardships, always being ready to make sacrifice, commitment, and also not loving oneself, respecting others, listening to others, being directly present amongst the mujahideen, being always present in the on the battlefield, on the front lines, and this is what led to his martyrdom. However, if we want to repeat these traits and others, if you want to add them to a central factor, I say that it is the love of Abu Muhammad, his love for Allah, for God, and how this world didn't mean anything to him. We usually refer to him as Abu Muhammad al-Aqlim. He tried to use the term Hajj Maher, but it didn't apply. When we used to say Hajj Maher, they said that means Abu Muhammad al-Aqlim. What we know about Abu Muhammad al-Aqlim is that there is no Hasan al-Hajj. And because there is no Hasan al-Hajj inside him, meaning there is no greed, there is no self-love, he never used to say, I fought, or I achieved, or I enabled this victory to take place, or I raised the flag, I did this, I did that, I'm the mind. This type of language, speaking of oneself, when someone has this love of himself, it destroys him and his group, and it destroys all those who are around him. And when this love of oneself, when it's absent, then this person indeed becomes a holy person. When someone does love himself and speak of himself, he becomes a devil in the disguise of a human being. The problem of the devil with the Prophet Adam was the love of oneself. This love of oneself, this didn't exist with the Hezbollah commander, with this martyr. And so he was a cleansed person, an honest person, a loyal person, an honorable person. And you can add many other terms and many other descriptions that apply to Abu Muhammad and others as well, others who also don't have this self-love, their love for themselves. And so when someone does not use these terms of I, he senses that he's carrying his responsibility towards God with his efforts and with his pains and with his wounds. He is worshipping God and doing his duty also towards people. He doesn't say that people owe it to him for his jihad or for his efforts or for his patience or his wounds or his martyrdom. This is where the issue begins. And today, we find that we are looking at a very unique person at the religious level, the cultural level, the spiritual level, the psychological level. And we also feel that we have lost this person with this meaning, with these descriptions, before having lost a very, very worthy military commander, we have lost this spiritual person. Also on the other side, we are taking a look at a very capable, qualified commander. He made a lot of achievements in the resistance, in confronting the Israeli occupation since the beginning, since the fights which took place in the Aqlim al-Tafah area of South Lebanon, and also on all the battlefields in the south, to the military training camps, all of the places where he was present, all the responsibilities he assumed in confronting the aggression in July 2006, whereby he was one of the most important commanders in confronting this Israeli aggression. He also played a role in confronting the Takfiri terrorism over the past few years. Abu Muhammad is like many other mujahideen and commanders who work far away from the spotlight, who were unknown on this in this earth but well known in the heavens, who worked tirelessly but nobody knew anything about them. Their names were not published, their pictures were never showed except after they're martyred, and nobody ever spoke about them as people. The resistance fighters, the commanders, the heroes are referred to. But who are they? This person, that person, the names, they were never mentioned. Even if they're martyred and they left this life, only then do the people get to know them and they see their pictures and they get to know their names and they get to know some aspects of their lives. Even after martyrdom, these martyrs and those commanders who became martyrs cannot become completely under the spotlight. We cannot today, we cannot speak, just as is the case with the other martyrs, we cannot talk about their achievements, their personal achievements. We can talk about the achievements of the resistance which they are part of. However, when it comes to what this person or that person, this martyr or that martyr, what they did personally, we cannot talk about that. We cannot talk even about the responsibility which they assumed year after year, phase after phase, because these are all secrets of the resistance, and it's related to the structure of the resistance, and the resistance is still acting. It is not something of the past, it's not something of history. The resistance is still there, present on the ground, and we must preserve its secrets, and we must preserve its experiences and its structure and the personality of its commanders and the way in which it operates. And so therefore, as you notice, when we speak about a commander in the resistance, we speak in this generalized manner. Anyway, in this aspect, it might be an object of attention for some people. Some people like to talk, like to hear about this. However, it is not something which the martyrs are interested in. The martyrs, after they received this holy medal and after they have reached immortality and left the prison to the palace, as Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, may peace be upon him, says, they're not concerned if you speak highly about them, or if you talk about them, or if you give them certain descriptions, or for people to mention them or not mention them. However, they cry for us by their jihad and by their descriptions. They set an example for us. They open the path, they show us the path. Brothers and sisters, with Martyr Abu Muhammad and his colleagues, we also had the achievement of our resistance in year 2000 after 18 consecutive years of efforts, of resistance efforts. After that period, the resistance entered into a new phase, a phase of preparation, and hence we witnessed the big victory in 2006. This victory, which was brought about by the resistance fighters, including this martyr. And ever since the end of the July 2006 war, on the 14th of August 2006, people returned to their daily lives to rebuild their homes and to rebuild the places where they worked and reorganize themselves, Abu Muhammad and his colleagues went back to complete their preparation, to prepare and to once again rebuild the strength which brought about the victory in 2006, because we are a neighbor to an enemy which has its ambitions, an enemy which has this aggressive, hostile, terrorist nature. And so no one can be safe when he is a neighbor of a hostile, terrorist, bloodthirsty enemy. Abu Muhammad, just like the rest of his colleagues, he returned back to the original path. The biggest responsibility was to protect Lebanon and the people of Lebanon, to protect our people, to protect the honor and dignity and sovereignty. And the biggest responsibility was for those people to be on the front lines in confronting Israel and the hostility of Israel and in confronting the Zionist project. This is how Abu Muhammad completed his life after 2006. This is how the resistance fighters completed their lives after the July 2006 war, after their colleagues, the martyrs who fell in the 2006 war. This equation, which you notice in some of the words which Abu Muhammad referred to in the video which was displayed, he spoke about the equation of rebuilding the strength to deter the enemy. We don't have any other alternative. This experience is what has been successful up until now. Today, this experience has succeeded in protecting the country from 14th of August until today. Every hour and every day, our people in Lebanon, and especially the people in South Lebanon, in Rashaya, in the Western Bekaa region, in the areas where the occupation had entered and stayed for a long time, on the border areas which were always subject to aggressions ever since 1948, ever since the establishment of the Zionist entity which seized the territories of Palestine, and even before the establishment of this entity, when the Zionist or terrorist organizations were spreading chaos on the Lebanese-Palestinian border. Today, every hour, our people feel security, they feel safe, they feel reassured, they feel confident in confronting the enemy. And this is because of those men, it's because of this leader, and it's because of the brothers of this leader, his companions, because of the resistance along with the National Lebanese Army and the large popular support for both within the framework of the equation of the Lebanese Resistance Army and people. Brothers and sisters, today I say to the Mujahideen, to the colleagues of Abu Muhammad, that his will for you was to preserve this strength which you built and to preserve this readiness which you brought about, and to work on further fortifying and developing this readiness. Because after God, of course, it is the guarantee for protecting our country and our people and our dignity and our honor and our families during a time whereby many are abandoning the simplest of human, national and cultural responsibilities. However, you and I, we are not of such a nature, and we shall not abandon these responsibilities. When martyrs fall, and especially martyrs who are commanders, those who love us, they become worried. They ask, what's going on? Commanders are falling. Is your resistance being exhausted? Has it entered the phase of exhaustion? Will this lead to the weakness of the resistance? So those who love the resistance become worried, and the enemy becomes happy. And unfortunately, some of our rivals also make fun or become happy. Although this is not an occasion for people to become happy or to take advantage of it. I'd like to reassure everyone on this ceremony that their resistance, and for years, for many years now, this resistance has a very high number of commanders at many different levels. And the resistance actually, it is no longer about an individual. It's no longer a group which is based on a few individuals or a few commanders. No, it has overcome this phase. It has become an institution which has its own structure, its own school, its own pillars, its own commanders, its fighters, its own ideology, its own doctrine, etc., etc. Therefore, the resistance is no longer, its presence is no longer about the existence of a commander here or commander there. Even if this commander is martyred, no, we can't say that nobody will fill the, that there will be nobody to fill the gap. With all appreciation to the martyrs, the commanders, with all due respect to the importance and their achievements and their roles, we thank God, and this is also because of their achievements, they transformed their resistance into a school, into an institution, into an entity beating with life, an entity able to continue and to walk on the path, even if people fall, even if people fall as martyrs on this path. This is what I wanted to say, so that those who love us rest assured, and so that the enemy be concerned, and even the rivals, if they consider themselves to be enemy, let them also be concerned. This resistance strengthens with their commanders when they are alive, and this resistance also increases in strength when its commanders fall as martyrs. And so the blood of the martyr Abu Muhammad al-Aqlim is a new push and new life, new blood being pumped in the veins of this resistance, and the determination and decision making of this resistance. Anyway, we, the brothers of Abu Muhammad, we will continue with our stance of resistance. We will continue to carry out our jihadist responsibilities in confronting Israel and the Zionist project, wherever it may be. This is our duty. This is what we believe in. This is our commitment. And so, we always have been, and we always will be, in support of the resistance of the Palestinian people, in support of the jihad and the revolutions of the Palestinian people at all stages. And today, as we look at the Palestinian, the young men and women in occupied Palestine, the young and the old in occupied Palestine, as we look at them, whereby they confront by knives and by rocks, as we look, as the Palestinians confront one of the strongest armies of this region, and as we see and as we witness their determination and their strength, our hope increases. Our hope increases that with the revolution and the intifada of the Palestinian people, and with the resistance of the Lebanese, and with the resistance axis, yes, the horizon is still open, and there will be no future for this entity which seizes control of Palestine, nor will there be a future of any of those who protect this entity. Today, this renewed intifada, it is the real hope, the only hope, to rid the Palestinians of the occupation, and it is the real means to protect Al-Aqsa Mosque and the sanctities. And everyone has a responsibility to stand side by side with this intifada and to support it, everyone according to his own capabilities, his own circumstances. And this is something which we anticipate, and we once again call on all sides to take this step, because this is a new opportunity. reflected by new generations in Palestine. All those who pin their hopes on frustration and of the Palestinians, today their bets have gone with the wind. Today we are witnessing a new generation and new generations which believe in the resistance and the intifada and dignity and honor and sanctities and al-Quds and al-Aqsa. And so therefore these generations are ready to fight with knives. They are ready to fight with knives, the Israelis who are in their tanks and who carry machine guns. And this has moral and psychological and jihadist and political significance, a high significance. The Palestinian people are continuing with their jihad and with their intifada, and the peoples of this ummah and the governments of this ummah must stand with the Palestinians and support them as much as they can. Also, when it comes to Hajj Abu Muhammad and his colleagues, we entered into the confrontation of the Takfiri project. The Takfiri project, which is threatening the region and the world. This project, this project of destroying everything, destroying people, destroying life, destroying societies, destroying people, destroying civilizations, destroying history. So one asks, what is it that you want? Who else do you want to be alive but yourselves? A question posed to the Takfiris. It's a strange question to ask people, who do you agree with other than yourselves, other than your own group, your own party? Who do you agree could stay alive? And what is it that you agree should stay on this earth, should stay and exist on this earth? This is a confusing question and a new challenge. I don't think that mankind has ever confronted such challenges except during very, very old or during the very old history. Anyway, we have the new, the ugliest forms of this has come back, and we, along with all of the mujahideen, with all of the fighters, we were able to confront this. More than 4 years have passed and we are fighting this bloody terrorist Takfiri project, and in more than one place, on more than one battlefield, in more than one place and on more than one battlefield. And in every place where we should have been, we indeed were there. Every place where we should have been present, we were present. And we gave martyrs, and we are still present in those locations. Today, were it not for this preservation, I'll speak here about the tangible results. Just like with the resistance, were it not for the resistance and from 1982 until 2000, we would not have witnessed liberation. This was a tangible result. And also, were it not for the resistance preparation in 2000 and the victory in 2006, we would not have enjoyed this security in Lebanon and in South Lebanon in confronting the Israeli aggressions. This is also a tangible result. And today, were it not for this perseverance, this steadfastness in more than one battlefield, I'm not speaking about our steadfastness, I'm speaking about all those who are fighting this Takfiri project and standing in confronting this project, were it not for the steadfastness on the battlefield and confronting ISIL and its affiliates from Iraq to Syria to Lebanon. Where would our region be today? What would be the situation of our region today? What would be the situation in Iraq? What would be the situation in Syria, in Lebanon, and the region today? And what would have been the situation of the world today? Had these bloodthirsty groups seized control of Iraq, Syria, and then Lebanon, what would have been the fate of the peoples of these countries and the peoples and the countries of this region? The fate would have been just like we saw in Mosul and Salah ad-Din, al-Anbar and al-Raqqa and Deir al-Zur and elsewhere. displacement of millions, seizing their properties, destroying the mosques, destroying churches, destroying all sites of civilization, all historical sites, and imposing a form of life with which no normal person can put up with, any normal person who lives in a normal manner. Killing for the simplest of reasons, slaughtering for the simplest of reasons. Killing for the simplest of reasons, slaughtering for the simplest of reasons. This is the general atmosphere which would have prevailed. Infighting, that would have seized control. That scenario would have seized control. There would have not been any room for elections, nor for real representatives of the people, nor for expressing one's opinion, nor for expressing a form of criticism or opposition. There would have been no room for partnership or existence or decision making. There would have not been any dignity nor security. So, because of the steadfastness of those people over these years, because of their steadfastness on the battlefield, because of that, today we are witnessing the tangible result of this. Although the battle hasn't been decided yet, although the battle is still open and it might be also a long battle. However, because of the steadfastness, up until now, these countries have been protected, and this region is still protected. Even, unfortunately, our enemies have been protected. Our rivals who think that they're doing well, but they are mistaken. I'd like to say, even the steadfastness on a battlefield in Yemen, by the Yemeni army and the popular committees in confronting the Saudi American aggression, this is what will save Yemen, not from the invaders only, but also if the invaders succeed in breaking the will of the Yemeni army and the popular committees, and they will not succeed, God willing, but if they do, then Al-Qaeda and ISIL and their affiliates will take control and rule Yemen, like what is happening now in Aden and in South Yemen and Hadramaut and Al-Mukalla and elsewhere. So, all of these places whereby we see confrontation fighting against this Takfiri terrorism project, this is in defense of everyone, in defense of everyone, against a fight in defense of all the peoples of the region, Christians, Muslims, minorities, religious minorities, ethnical minorities, Sunnis, Shia, the present, the history, their diversity as well, the diversity of the people. It's in defense of their right to live a dignified life, a safe life. It's in defense of their right to have a partnership, their right to express their opinions. And Hajj Abu Muhammad al-Aqlim, he fell as a martyr on this path for this reason. Otherwise, what is the reason? What is the reason that would push the commanders of the resistance who spent their youth 30 years on the border with Palestine to go to Sahel al-Ghab, for example, in Syria, where Abu Muhammad was martyred, to the borders with Hama and Aleppo and Latakia? Why? Because both projects, the Zionist and the Takfiri projects, they want to reach the same result, destroying our peoples and our societies, and to humiliate them and crush them and seize control of their will. And because of this steadfastness and because of this cleansed blood, we have begun to witness a big change in the Arab public opinion. This is very important. In many different countries in the Arab world today, things have begun to change. The perspective has changed. The way they look at this conflict, this has also changed. The faces are now uncovered. The truth is being revealed. the atmosphere is clearing. And so we have begun to witness new stances, we've begun to read new articles, new perspectives. There are now new orientations and changes which are increasing day by day. This is also important. We also have changes in the stances. However, this change in public opinion and this change in the stances, whether it be stances inside the country or the regional stances, this also is due to those who stood with steadfastness on the battlefield, those who were martyred and sacrificed their blood and their souls for the sake of preventing this bloodthirsty project, preventing it from seizing control of the fate of the region. And what will also decide the future is the battlefield. The battlefield imposes on the countries to change their stances, what imposes on the world, what imposes on the people of the world to reconsider their evaluation and their opinions and their understanding is the battlefield. And so therefore, we must always be present on the battlefield. And we, the brothers and the colleagues of Abu Muhammad al-Aqlib, on this ceremony of his martyrdom, I say that his brothers and his beloved from all the men of the resistance, today they are present on the battlefield, they are present where they should be present, and they are present more than ever before. Qualitative-wise and also quantity-wise, because we are in a decisive battle and we will not abandon this responsibility. Since the beginning, we had clarity, we had a vision in this perspective, and day by day, this clarity increases, this belief increases because of the practices of those who with whom we are fighting on all battlefields. For example, one of the unfortunate things we hear about day in, day out, almost day in, day out, in Nigeria, we have suicide operations that target those who are praying in the mosques. Okay. Those who are praying, what's their religion? They're Muslim, praying in mosques, and they're Sunnis. So that nobody will say that we're fighting in defense of the Shia, so that nobody would depict the fight as being between Sunnis and Shia. Boko Haram, which is from the same school, from the same nature, from the same ideology, from the same school of thought, bring a list of the names of the Muslims who were killed, Muslims and Christians. But now, in order to focus on this point, the mosques, they kill Sunnis only because they're not affiliated with Boko Haram, only because they don't belong to the same school of thought, they're not affiliated with their gang. When we fight those people, are we just defending Shia or are we defending all Muslims? And the same goes for elsewhere in the Arab and Islamic world. Yesterday in Al-Qatif, in Sihad, a mosque and a Husseiniyah was targeted and martyrs fell, and also there were people who were wounded. What was it about? They said that these people are infidels, the attackers said this, because they are holding a ceremony for the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. If they had been holding a funeral ceremony for one of their sheikhs, the killers, then they would not have been judged as infidels. However, because they are expressing their love for the Prophet and for his family, and their friendship has become something which is rewarded to, their worship is always spoken about, because the Prophet is for all Muslims and it's his grandson, this is enough to kill them from the perspective of those people, and to attack them, to terrorize them, and to carry out bombing attacks, just like what is happening in more than one place today. these events which are taking place, brothers and sisters, these events increase our belief, increase our vision, increase our clarity, increase our conviction that we are not mistaken. We're not mistaken, nor are we going to the wrong battle. No, we are correct. We are going to the right battle. Just like fighting the Zionists is in defense of all the Muslims and in defense of the sanctities of the Muslims and in defense of the peoples of the region, Christians and Muslims, and in defense of human values and religious sanctities, also fighting these takfiri terrorist groups, it is also in defense of Islam and Muslims and the peoples of the region and the sanctities of the region and religious values and human values. And so this battle deserves martyrs like Abu Muhammad and others who fell on the same path. As I said, we shall continue taking our responsibility in both battles, and God willing, we have the commanders and we have the mujahideen and we have the capabilities and we have the qualification to be present on both fronts, and we will remain in Lebanon to protect it from the Zionists, and we shall remain present in Lebanon and in the region also. The resistance fighters will remain present to confront any project which targets the values and the dignity and the security of the people. Regarding the situation inside Lebanon, I'd like to say a few words before I end. I don't want to take a lot of your time, more than I have already done. And the dignity and the security of the people. Regarding the situation inside Lebanon, I'd like to say a few words before I end. I don't want to take a lot of your time, more than I have already done. We in Lebanon, we always express our keenness on dialogue. We are always intent. When we were called for participation in dialogue, we always responded to these calls. We express our intent on having cohesion amongst the Lebanese, because it's the interest of the Lebanese, the country, the Lebanon, the political stability, the security stability. This all requires support for dialogue. Also, in this government, we also participated in this government for the sake of political and security stability in Lebanon. Although our partners or those others who have participated in this government, they fought in order to topple the previous government, and they also went to all capitals of the world to isolate this government, to boycott it, and they almost burnt the country for the sake of returning to the rule, to returning to ruling Lebanon. And today, despite the obstructed performance for this government, although we appreciate Prime Minister Tamam Salam, I'm not speaking for the sake of speaking, no. This man has proven that he is taking national responsibility. Despite the difficult phase this government has witnessed, we always call for preserving this government. And we do not support the toppling of the government also for the sake of the country, not because we have ministries in this government and we're holding on to these ministries. No. We're not searching for any own self-interest for Hezbollah via dialogue, nor in the government. We are not searching in the government for self-interest as well. We're looking for national interests, the interests of the Lebanese, the interests of the Lebanese in dialogue, even if the result of this dialogue are small. However, it keeps the hopes alive, it keeps the doors open. The interest of the Lebanese is that this government stays, because the alternative is vacuum and it might be collapse. We know, we can see what's going on in the region around us. We heard over the past few days, we heard some talk which was responded to, but I believe that I also must address this issue, because it's new in some perspectives, but when it comes to the core, it's not new what was said. Over the past period, we've heard from some political factions, specifically from the Future Movement, when they talk about dialogue, it's as if they are doing something, they're doing a favor to others. By holding dialogue, they're doing us a favor. It's as if they came to the table of national dialogue to Parliament Speaker Nabih Berri as if they're doing a favor. They speak as if, you know, they're doing something good for the Lebanese, that they're giving a concession. This is something which we reject from our perspective. We don't accept anyone to behave in this way when it comes to dialogue. If you think we owe you something, forget it. Forget dialogue. Second, they are present in the government and they are taking responsibilities, and they speak to the Lebanese and they say that they accepted to be in a government that we are present in. If you sense that you're in an uncomfortable situation, or that you're doing some kind of a favor to us and to others by staying in the government, then don't feel as such. Leave. There's no problem. Second, so this issue, and as if you're owing a favor, what's this about? We don't want to say that we owe a favor by holding dialogue. We don't want to say that people owe us a favor because we're participating in the government. Anyway, we, along with our other resistance brothers, along with our other colleagues in the other Lebanese factions and parties, we liberated our country and we sacrificed thousands of martyrs and wounded. And when we stood in Bint Jbeil on the 25th of May, year 2000, if there is any achievement Lebanon made over the past 50, 60 years, it is the liberation by the resistance. And never did we say that people owe it to us because we fought and we liberated. So how is it that you come and sit down on a table of dialogue and say that we owe it to you? No. That is something, anyway. I don't know if Parliament Speaker Birri has returned from his trip abroad. We'll talk about it because it requires discussion. And anyway, I will discuss this issue as soon as possible, because we are all occupied and busy with the Ashura ceremonies. But after that, I will call on all Hezbollah leaders. If that's the situation, no. It's not you who will leave the dialogue. I won't accept holding dialogue with you if that's your attitude. Second, we also feel that there is blackmail here. I, as a Lebanese citizen yesterday, I felt that I was being blackmailed. If you don't help us to come out of our failure in the Biqar region, what's the situation in the Biqar region, my brothers? A security plan was put together in the Biqar region. What is required from us? We are a political faction. We and the Amal movement, they said we don't want anyone to cover those who are violating the law, those who are creating security problems. We didn't cover anyone. We did not cover anyone. Never did we cover anyone. And I challenge all of these security institutions, the judicial institutions, the military institutes, I challenge all of them. Bring me a case whereby anyone, a drug dealer or someone who steals cars or a murderer or someone who blocks roads, anyone who violates the law, bring me a case where we provided cover for any such individual. They have failed. What do they want from us? They want from us to arrest these people and hand them over to the state. But then it's no longer a state, it becomes a prison. You are a state. Are you a state or are you a warden in a prison? It's not our job to arrest people and hand them over to you. Yes, we did this before when it comes to those who spied for Israel. that's something related to the resistance. Everything related to the resistance has its own unique perspective. But me, Hezbollah, and the Amal movement, is it required from us to arrest people and hand them over to the state? That's not our job. Why do we have a state then? And you know the sensitivity of this issue. This doesn't mean we're abandoning our responsibility and our people in the Bekaa know that there's no interest in taking such steps. There are some who want to drag Hezbollah and the Amal movement into a confrontation with the families and the tribes and the Bekaa, because our people, our fighters, are the sons of these tribes and these families. But the state is a state. The army is the army. Security services are security services. Otherwise, why do you have this budget? Why do you have this equipment? Why do you get hundreds of billions of dollars and espionage equipment and advanced technology, etc.? Anyway, if they're talking about dialogue for the sake of blackmail, we reject blackmail. And if they talk about staying in the government for blackmail, we reject blackmail. He who wants to stay on the dialogue table, we welcome that. And he who wants to abandon dialogue, God be with him. He who wants to stay in the government, we welcome him. And he who wants to leave the government, farewell to him as well. May God be with him. And we reject that this be a subject of blackmail against us or against anyone else. And we don't force anyone to stay in the government, nor do we force anyone to stay in the dialogue. We, as a segment of the Lebanese people, we care for our country, we care for the stability, the political stability, security stability, we care for the ongoing communication and dialogue between the factions. We want the government to stay to search for solutions, but look, try and identify where the real problems are. Who is behind these problems? Anyway, we are keen on all issues. However, when it comes to this issue of dignity, dignity is not the dignity of one individual. Regarding the issue of individuals, my individual personality and the individual of the individuals of others, other people, we overcome this, we overlook this. But when it comes to the dignity of more than one individual, a group, no, we don't take this lightly. Anyway, whatever be the responsibilities in confronting the Zionist enemy and in confronting the Takfiri project and in confronting the challenges inside Lebanon, We are the brothers of the martyr Hassan Muhammad Hussein al-Hajj Abu Muhammad al-Aqlim Hajj Maher, the commander, the martyr, who we are proud of. We are proud of his jihadism, we are proud of his martyrdom. We will continue to assume complete responsibility until we achieve either one of the goals. And personally, both goals are good, either victory or martyrdom. May God have mercy on the soul of our martyr. May he place him with the prophets and with the families and the companions of the prophet and with the Sayyid of the martyrs, Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. And may God also grant patience to his family. And of course, his family now must be in a state of pride, and may God also give you security and give you and grant you dignity and victory, God willing, and may God enable us to continue to walk on the path of the martyrs. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.